name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to Gentiles, and he wrote about the church. And in the selection today, he's telling the Gentiles, his audience, that they and the Jews are now made one. But much more than that, because with St. Paul, with our Lord, with all of the writers of the New Testament, there's always more to it than that. Really, St. Paul's epistle, the selection today, ties in extremely well with the Gospels, both of them. Now, he says he is our peace who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. All right? Both one is the Gentiles and the Jews, now together, being formed by, fitted together by the cornerstone. The Gentiles and the Jews are now one people. Broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Us is not the Gentiles and the Jews. Us is man and God, and that middle wall is sin. Now let us understand what sin is. Otherwise, we do not understand what the apostle is saying. In fact, we don't really understand the whole aim of the Christian life if we don't know what sin is. Okay? Sin is not committing this or doing that or not doing this or that. Sin is the condition of us that causes us to go away from God. Sin is incompleteness. Sin is disease. Sin causes pain. Whether we're forgiven of it or not, sin causes terrible pain, terrible confusion in the soul, and leaves us not at peace. So I told you 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 times more. Christ didn't come just to forgive us. If that is all that he did, then we are most wretched. We are to be pitied, because a forgiven sinner is still a sinner. And sin of its own causes pain, whether it's forgiven or not. Jesus Christ came to break down that middle wall of partition, the thing that keeps us from God. Not because God judges us because of sin, but because of sin, we cannot be close to God. You saw what happened to the apostles, the three of them, on the mountain, right? When Jesus Christ showed himself as he really is, and they were bathed by the uncreated light, they couldn't take it, they couldn't bear it. But we will be able to bear it. They were still sinful men, so they were perplexed and frightened by seeing God in his glory. And we would be too. No matter how forgiven we are, we would be terrified in the presence of God because of our uncleanness. So Jesus Christ came to break down that wall. Not by fiat, not by saying, you're forgiven of this. No. Instead, the apostle then goes on, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. This contains two profound theological thoughts, probably 2 million, but two that I want to speak of. The enmity is that part of man that goes against God. Now, we all say we're Christians, and yet we still do things that are very foolish, and very sinful, and self-centered, and everything else. Why do we do this? There's something within us. Not that we can blame it and say, oh, it's, you know, we're not taking responsibility. But there is, our being wars against God in some ways. But he has abolished in his flesh that enmity. How did he do it? He lived as a man. And he accomplished that which he tells us we must accomplish. And he made us capable of becoming good. Now, commandments consist of ordinances. The Lord made most of the time, the Lord spoke of ordinances. Because commandments are like, you should not commit adultery. But the Lord says you shouldn't even look at a woman with lust. The commandment says do not commit murder. And the Lord says you don't even call your brother a fool. You don't even judge your brother. The commandments are only the surface. The ordinances are the way we should live. Did you notice that when the Lord was asked what the greatest commandment was, He didn't quote from the Ten Commandments. It's not in there. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind is not in the Ten Commandments. To love the neighbor as yourself is not there. It is derived from those commandments. It is actually, I shouldn't say derived from the commandments. It is the internalization of those commandments. It is the real commandment. It is the ordinances that we must follow. And so, to make of ourselves, the Gentiles and the Jews, one new man, making peace. Making peace with God. Not because our sins are forgiven, but because we become so that we do not sin. Now, you could be forgiven of someone if you do something bad to a friend. And you go to your friend and say, I am so sorry I did this. You'll be forgiven. But isn't there great pain in your heart that you would do such thing to hurt someone? God wants to remove that from us. Or actually, to speak more carefully, He doesn't want to remove it. He wants us to remove it with His help, because He made us capable of doing it, because He is the God-man, Jesus Christ, who accomplished all that He said we should accomplish and made us capable of it. And the Apostle says He might reconcile both the Jews and the Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross and in His life was made us capable of becoming perfect. He also ordered us to be perfect. But His life, His preaching, His example, the fact that He is God and man, accomplished for us the possibility of becoming perfect. It wasn't there before. And so then He says to these Gentiles, and He came and preached peace to you which were afar off. They were afar off because they were not part of the household of faith of the Jews. Because first salvation was to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And to them they were nigh, to the Jews. He came to preach to all men and to make them all one and to make them all be capable of being at peace. Now, when He speaks of this enmity, you should feel deeply in your soul this resonance that there is this enmity. There is this condition in you which makes you do things that you shouldn't be doing. Makes it hard to pray. Makes it hard to be kind when someone is not kind to you. Makes it hard to keep attention on God. All the rest. Doesn't that get you tired? Don't you want to be rid of that? To me, that's the good news of the gospel, that we can be rid of it. Now, in the story about Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood, if you look at it mystically, as the church has, you can see this, the same teaching of St. Paul. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years she could not go into the synagogue. 12 years she was an outcast among her own people. Sin gushing out of her, causing debilitation and pain and all kinds of bad ramifications in her life. She wanted to be rid of it, but she could not. And what does sin do? Sin, the end result of sin is Jairus' daughter dying. Sin, all sin, causes the death of the soul. And so, what can we do? We must go and touch the robe of Christ, which is the incarnation. St. Paul talks of it, and here it is mentioned in a sort of a dark way. The woman touches the robe of Christ with faith, with longing, with desire to become good. And God saves her because He sees her faith. Many people can touch the robe of Christ and receive nothing whatsoever. Many people can have Holy Communion and it does nothing good for them at all. Many people can come to church, but their soul is not touched. They don't feel a great longing. They're seculars living in the world. But we must be that like this woman that feels deeply this incompleteness, this disease within ourselves, this enmity. And know that the only way to be rid of it is to touch the robe of Christ. To have hope in His incarnation. To believe in Christ does not mean to know things about Him. It means to do what He says. And not to do what He says just because these are laws and commandments and we were brought up to do this. To do what He says because we feel that in them is life and there is no other option for us. The Christian feels there is no other option in a way to live. To be unkind when someone is unkind to you, that is death. To slander is death. To have lustful thoughts is death. To be lazy is death. And when the Christian does these things, he feels great pain in his soul. And then should want to run to God for forgiveness and help. Now, Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. The mystical interpretation of this is that synagogue means a gathering together, not only of people, but also of things. So, he was the ruler over many things. He was the ruler over, his mind was entranced, not himself personally, not that he's a sinful man, but the mystical interpretation is that the mind has many things that it is concerned with, that it is collected together. Most of them are useless. And many of them are depraved. The things we think, the things we value, the things we want, the things we do. How many of them are godly? If we were to take a careful inventory, we would be amazed and ashamed at the kind of people we are. But let us not lose hope, because Jesus Christ came so that we could become good. I tell you, if a Christian does not feel this pain in him about his sin, if he doesn't feel this darkness, if he doesn't feel the cold within him, then he's not a Christian. Not at all. He might go to church, he might read the Bible, he might come to communion, he might come to confession. But if you don't feel this great lack in you that Jesus Christ can give you, then why are you doing it? Why are you alive? God came to give you life. Life is holiness. There is no peace without holiness. Never. Now the world tries to have peace in many ways. With all kinds of words and plans and systems. There is only one way to have peace. And that is to follow the commandments contained in ordinances. Because the God-man has made us capable of doing it. There is no other way. The world has 1,000 other solutions. And we ourselves, being people, unfortunately not just in the world, but also of it, we also have many false solutions to our problems. There's only one problem. The problem is we have sin. And there's only one solution. And it is Jesus Christ. Because He is the way and the life. He is the resurrection. Not because He has proclaimed something to us, but because He has made us capable of becoming something. It is good news. But it's news that gives us a responsibility. Remember, we were bought with a price. We owe to God our allegiance. We owe to God our love. Not because it's some law, but because within our spirit, we cry out because we want Him so much. And because we see things in ourselves that are not where they should be. But God came to make all that go away. That middle wall of partition the thing that makes us do what we don't want to do, to make it all go away. But it's not an instantaneous thing. It is from our sweat and our labor. It is from our desire. You must have desire, Christian. If you don't desire, then you are nothing. Every day when you get up, your desire should be, I want to be better today. I want to be closer to God. I'm tired of the person I am. I'm tired of the things I think, that I say, that I do. I know they're wrong, and yet I keep doing them. Don't be afraid of the fact that you do them. But be very afraid if you don't have a great desire to stop doing them. Now, that is not just something intellectually we say. It is how we live our life that shows if we really desire or not. So may God help us. I said it also, this epistle also applies to the other gospel. One of the most beautiful indications of salvation in all of scriptures is where he speaks about the sheep know his voice and they go in and out and find pasture. That is an expression of freedom. The freedom that Jesus Christ allows us to have by struggle and difficulties, but then to have total freedom, that in our mind we can say what we want to do and it is the right thing and we do it. We go in and out having freedom. That's a captivating idea to me. I hope it's what you want above everything else in the world, because there's nothing else more important than to have freedom. Freedom as God defines freedom, which means the soul is free to do good and able to do good in every single circumstance. That's what we are striving for. As Christians, we're not trying to be forgiven. We're trying to become perfected. And God has said we can become perfected. And we can have this freedom. In another place he says, and you will be free indeed. That is what we are striving for. Jesus Christ makes it possible. So let's be like this woman. Let us sense within ourselves great disease. Let us realize that we've already spent our money on everything else, and nothing has solved the problem. All of our solutions don't work. There's only one way for us to get better: to touch the robe of Christ with faith. Then we'll be healed completely. May God help us. Amen.